Let's welcome in our man, Jason Jones of the New York Times, a.k.a. The Athletic. Jason, what's happening, man?
Stupid hat. Nothing
man, look at your stupid hat.
That's fine. It goes with the outfit.
You look great.
Mine goes with my shirt, so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, see, yeah. Cooking over there.
There was no need to insult me. You're the one tweeting about they can't lose 5 or 6 when they clearly can't.
That was embarrassing. That was just
that was what I expected since y'all were screenshotting 2 weeks ago because you won a game against the Dodgers.
This is just awful. And then the Dodgers.
Y'all was in first place for 12 hours?
What they have? Oh, no, they play Kansas City. But 6 of their last 9 games are going to be against double-A teams. Playing the Rockies for 3, and now they're playing the damn White Sox for 3. When do they play the Braves and all these other teams?
Played them earlier in the year. Beat them.
I love that every Tuesday with Jason starts the exact same way.
I was chilling. He's the one who called my hat.
No, it's always instigated by Kenny. I understand.
I'm just saying, you know, focus on beating the Marlins. Don't worry about the first.
Okay, what do you think about basketball?
I think I want to go down to El Segundo and fight the front office.
So that's what I was going to ask you. What's going on in Los Angeles right now?
I want to fight somebody. I mean, cap space for 2027. That what we're doing? That's what we're doing? I'm like, can the new ownership please fire people? Can they please get that sale finalized so we can stop enduring dumb stuff like we're preparing for like free agency in 3 years? That has got to be the worst leaked thing, at least for me yesterday. Oh, don't worry. They need to have flexibility for 2027. Okay. Yeah. What, for Bronny's prime? Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here?
See, Kings fans, it's not just you.
What are we doing here?
The damn Lakers got an issue, too.
That's the most asinine thing I've heard. You've got prime Luka and LeBron coming off an all NBA season, and your response is we need cap space 2 years from now. Do we want to go through another embarrassing LaMarcus Aldridge, everyone tells us no summer? Like, I my only saving grace that is in 2027, the people making these decisions won't be making them anymore.
So I'm of the belief, I think I'm a one-man wolf pack with it, but I'm of the belief there's smoke to this, or there's fire to this LeBron James smoke. I think he might get traded this summer. What are you hearing? What are you thinking about LeBron possibly not being a Laker after the summer?
I don't think he gets traded. I haven't talked to him. I don't think he gets traded.
What do you think happens?
I think LeBron's is applying pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think we see what happens, but I think trading LeBron is not nearly as easy as it sounds.
Sure.
Just because if you're Cleveland, do you really want to give up, say, Jared Allen and a couple of other young guys for possibly 1 year of LeBron? I mean, because if you don't win a championship, what did you do it for? I'm like, and because he makes what, $52 million, you know, you're going to have to send something significant back to the Lakers. And that would be any team, unless you're going to go star for star. And if you're trading a star, LeBron has a no trade clause. So I peruse the internet and see Laker fans saying, see, we can just go get Giannis now. No, you can't. LeBron's not going to Milwaukee, first off. And he's definitely not going to Milwaukee without Giannis there. So, I mean, you're really limited in what you can do. I just think, hey, you see what happens the rest of this week. I think that, you know, it's only, what, day 2. So, of course, every fan base is going crazy. You know, if you didn't do anything yesterday, everyone thinks, oh, my God, it's over. You know, Julius Randle got traded before training camp last year. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of time before you even play any basketball games. So, you know, I jokingly overreact and lose my mind, but we'll see how it all plays out. I don't think anything happens anytime soon, though, which, of course, means the opposite will happen.
Are you surprised by what happened in Milwaukee today with Dame?
Well, if you think about it from a business perspective, no. I mean, I think it's kind of shocking. You don't see that type of player get amnesty, you know, waived like that and you know and all that. You don't see that. I mean, I think because it's Dame, and plus Dame just got injured, what, in April?
Yeah.
It just seems like, well, I mean, that's cold-blooded. Some of the stuff you read, I never got the sense that Dame was in love with Milwaukee anyway. And I can imagine that a guy from Oakland would rather be rehabbed. He probably would have been rehabbing in California anyway. And I'm pretty sure he wouldn't want to spend, you know, a winter in Milwaukee where he can't, you know, where he can't do anything. And if the odds are when he came back, they probably might have tried to move him anyway on the last year of a deal. I think you remove kind of the feelings, emotions, like, dang, that's cold. It makes sense. It's just, it took a lot of guts to make that happen, though. It'd be like, you know what? We're going to waive a Hall of, you know, who, you know, when he was healthy, Dame could still play. Mm-hmm. But I just think they were like, you know, we're not going to have him for a year. Go ahead and move on. I'm just wondering what's up with Indiana. I guess they said, okay, there's our window. Bye.
Real quick on that Dame situation, do you think that happens without his blessing?
I think it could happen without his blessing. But I think you definitely go to him and present it to him. That's why I think when you read that he's pleased with how it turned out, they definitely talk to him. Which is, I mean, but all the reports right now are so crazy. On one hand, you read that Dame is elated. On the other hand, you read Giannis didn't like it. But you also read that Giannis helped recruit Miles Turner. So, I mean, everyone's lying at this point. But I think of all those scenarios, Dame being happy that he still gets his money.
Mm-hmm.
And say hypothetically in a year and he's healthy, could still sign, say, a 2-year, $40 million deal or whatever. I think Dame, you know, I could see Dame being happy, but he wasn't going to play this coming season anyway. So, then the idea that when he's healthy, he can pick his spot. I could see Dame being happy with that.
How big of an impact do you think these aprons are having on this current free agency period? We're not seeing the shocking dollars that we used to see, you know, over the last several seasons. We saw the cap didn't go up the full 10%. It went up about 7%. And every tweet is accompanied with how close to what that particular team is to the first or second apron.
Oh, it's having a major impact. I mean, I'm not convinced that if without the apron that Boston doesn't keep, you know, Drew and Porzingis for one more year. Because, I mean, that's still a good team.
Yeah.
If you keep those guys, even without Tatum, I'm not convinced. I mean, I think a lot of these decisions are not basketball. They are strictly financial decisions. Let's, you know, get under this apron. You know, let's shed salary. Let's not be committed to guys long term. I'm convinced it's definitely having a major impact because, you know, people are already projecting out what OKC's going to do, you know, with when Chet's eligible for his extension, you know, and it's definitely affecting teams. And I think what it does is it gives a bunch of teams and a bunch of ownerships groups or owners a reason and excuse not to compete. I hate it. I think it punishes. I know I'm talking about big market, small market, or whatever, who can spend the most money. But I think it gives teams who, you know, between that and the whole play-in thing, you're giving teams a reason. Like, it's okay to be mediocre because of the apron now. Like, we can't, you know, unless we can be like Oklahoma City and win when the guys are young, why even try?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't like about it. I just think I hate seeing a bunch of decisions being made based off of that, as opposed to, you know what, this guy would really help us, you know, because mm-hmm. I mean, they say that one of the reasons why Indiana let Miles Turner go was because they were like, without Halliburton, why be under that apron or whatever, because you're not going to compete. Right. So it was like, you say you did it for parity, but the fact now is it's going to be, you know what? If teams feel like they can't win a championship, they're going to be getting rid of salary.
Yeah, and I had the same thought about just there's been a lot of talk about value of, like, we're talking Malik Monk, but just different players and stuff like that. And you mentioned these aprons, and the first apron is obviously something nobody wants to be around if they don't feel like they compete. And the second apron is like death. Even if you're a championship team, you don't want to be there. So I always try to say, or lately I've been trying to say, Malik Monk, for instance, it's not that he's a bad player or people look at him as a bad player or anything else like that. I just think these teams are like super cautious with any type of money that they bring on and the type of player, because they don't want to make the wrong decision being one of those aprons and mm-hmm. now be kind of in no man's land. So we're talking about Malik Monk, but I don't think it's an indictment on Malik, more of it being something that the league is going through with these aprons.
Yeah. Malik's contract is not a bad contract. I mean, that's not what you would put in, you know, top 10 worst deals in the NBA. But the thing is when you're close, you ask yourself, does Malik put me over to a championship team? If you don't think Malik makes you a championship team, maybe you don't want that contract. And a lot of these contracts you see getting signed, you see a lot of guys in that, you know, $15, $16 million range.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are trying to keep your salary smaller. They're easier to move. And if you're a team like the Kings, you've got, DeMar's deal isn't crazy, but trying to move a guy like LaVine, that's not an easy deal to move. Someone's got to believe Zach LaVine makes them a championship team to take that on. And so I hate some of the discourse I've had to see about Malik, because Malik is not the problem. The problem is the roster and the finance. It's not a Malik problem.
But he doesn't there's too many guys who do the same thing, and because
exactly. It's a roster issue. It's not Malik's fault, you know, that they drafted Devin Carter last year.
No, it isn't.
And it's not Malik's fault that they took on, you know, LaVine and signed DeRozan within a matter of months. It's not his fault.
But because of what you just said with the $15, $16, $17, $18 million, he has a contract that is really easy. Well, we thought his contract would be really easy to move.
Yeah, and I think maybe it'll be easy if you're going to, I think as you get past free agency teams, strike out on guys, you know, you start kind of seeing – like when I started seeing, and the thing is, I'm trying to run Malik out of town, but some of the teams you look at where he would have fit well, you would think in a trade, don't either, or have a lot of salary already or hard to move, mm-hmm. or hard to fit him in. Like when I watched the Knicks in the playoffs, I said they need another guy who can score and handle the ball and initiate. Mm-hmm. A guy like Malik would have been perfect in New York. But if you're New York's financial situation, it's easier to get Jordan Clarkson off waivers, right, and sign him to a minimum deal. I just think this, it's hard for teams to kind of go in. And like I said, Malik does not have a bad deal. It's not like he's on a four-year, $120 million deal. But it's just the way it is. And in a lot of ways, if you look at the way the Kings are, if you're going to move, if you're the guy who's tradable, you would think it would be Malik. Mm-hmm. But I think some teams are going to say, for a guy who we probably bring off the bench, do we want to pay him that much? Yeah. I mean, it's really weird, mm-hmm. because now you're seeing guys who maybe 5 years ago, you'd be clamoring, I'll make that move in a heartbeat. Now you're going, you know what? Maybe we sacrifice a little depth here. And maybe some talent, mm-hmm. to avoid these aprons and all the other stuff.
Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, the guy that is coming to Sacramento, Dennis Schroeder. You got to see him up close and personal a few years ago when he was with the Lakers. He was on the title team or the year after?
No.
I think he's the year after.
I want to say the year after, yeah.
What you think about him, man? I like Dennis Schroeder as a ball player. I'm not saying he's the savior or anything like that, but I think he's a good ball player, man. What you think about him?
I think he's a good player. He's competitive. He'll get in. He's a competitor. Defensively, he'll try to get in you. He can make the three. I think he's a solid option at point guard. I don't have any issue with the Kings signing Dennis. I don't think. Signing Dennis Schroeder is an issue at all. I just think the Kings' more greater issue is, what do you do with this collection of guys over here who were all variations of the same guy? Mm-hmm. Like, of all those guards you name, who would you say, I guess you say outside of Keon, who are your defenders? it's kind of just, they just have a bunch of guys, bunch of backcourt guys.
Yeah.
And I think at least Dennis has a defined role.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of, I don't know what the defined role is. Like I said, as of today with the rest of the guys would necessarily be. This is why I'm curious to see in 4 or 5 days what moves get made, what things happen to shake stuff up. Because the way they're built right now, it's like,
don't work.
Okay. I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do with this except have a bunch of guys mad. And it's also a weird thing, too, because your rookie from last year is not who your current GM drafted. And what's, you know, is there a team that would want to take a flyer on him?
So far, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're just kind of in this weird and this kind of collection of players got you what ninth in the West. And, you know, I don't think you see they're because it's still early, but they're not in a better position right now, you know, and to the point where you lose a guy to the Lakers mainly because, you know, the Lakers had a little bit more money to offer.
Yeah, very little bit. But he took
it. It wasn't like the Lakers came in and offered him $10 million a year.
Yeah.
But and it was still more than what the Kings could do.
It was as simple as that. It was very literally the Kings just could only offer so much. Like, it wasn't something the Kings did. It was just the collective bargaining agreement. They could only offer so much. The Lakers said, okay, I see you. I can up that by about a total of $1.5 million in total. And salute to Jake LaRavia. He took it. I'd take every single penny someone was willing to offer me.
Yeah, can't be mad at that. It's a victim of the CBA. And I know it's not happening soon. I can't wait to see the next labor negotiations because at some point, you know, you got to assume that the players have to stop giving the owners ways to save themselves. I mean, yeah. Everything that, you know, every concession they've made is basically because the owners can't make good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to throw money away for years. Now look what you've got.
I don't know, man. Like, you're watching these teams, you're watching these different moves. The Dame Lillard one, you know, even though, like, I guess you can look at it and go, it makes sense. You noted this a second ago, Jason. It's weird to see that with a player the caliber of Dame Lillard. Then you got like the LeBron James thing going on, where LeBron James is now a prime candidate. You can't tell a prime trade candidate. You can't tell if Rich Paul kind of put out a very vague trade request or trade threat in his statement. And then you start having the conversation about, yeah, it's a $53 million trade. And in the era of the collective bargaining agreement in 2025, it's almost impossible to pull off and remain a contender unless you have a total anomaly of a contract. We might have one if you want to work on this Zach LaVine trade. But, like, the
anomaly you saw was Luka and AD. That's the anomaly.
Sure.
Where you have two high-level players get traded for each other. But generally, you're trading a guy like that, you're not getting that guy back. Like, the Lakers aren't going to trade LeBron to Cleveland and get Donovan Mitchell back.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just been fascinating, weird, everything, just to kind of watch all this stuff unfold. It's like, it's weird, you know, between that, the draft, it's just, the NBA is just weird right now. I don't know what's going on half the time anymore.
Haven't mentioned one time, it's news, but it's whatever. We haven't touched on Shea's extension, his monster contract extension that he signed.
71 mil a year.
285 million in total, a 4-year max. Goodness gracious.
You're gonna have to keep Applebee's open late for him in OKC.
62.5, 68.6, 73.7, and 78.7. We are getting closer and closer to that $100 million man. How old is Shea? 26?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Is he older than that? 26. So this contract will take him, because he's got 2 years left, this contract will take him till he's 32, 28, 27. Yeah, he could get to... Woo! He's going to get close.
They're going to get another two.
Somebody already projected Cooper Flagg could make a half a billion.
Okay.
They already projected. I mean, I think, when's Wimby's gonna his extension gonna be?
Oh yeah.
We I felt like we do this every time you bring up a contract. Mm-hmm. But who's next? Who's the next one after Shea?
Who's the next one after Shea?
Has all the accolades.
Well, I don't know that there is one. Because
Steph?
Well, yeah. Yeah, but it probably won't be for 4 years.
But I mean, in terms of guys who do what next?
I mean
Luka's Trey, 2 years.
Well, it's not the same, but Trey's 2-year extension that he consigned is like $75 million a year.
Goodness.
We're not that far from the $100 million.
Yeah, there's a really important component to this. You have to either be on the team that drafted you, or have been traded on your rookie deal, which Shea was. So even though the Clippers didn't, even though the Thunder didn't draft him, he still reaps the benefits of that one team thing. Yeah. And so, you know, Luka. I think we were projecting it was going to be Luka. Luka's out.
Yeah, he's out.
Luka lost it.
It would have been Luka.
Chatty House is saying Ant Edwards.
Ant Edwards, what? Yeah, is an all NBA player. Yeah.
Yeah. Ant's going to be in the running for that. Yeah.
Book's rumored extension was, I think, around 75 per.
Yeah. If the Timberwolves can stop paying big men, you know, there'd be some money for Ant.
Rudy Gobert? How much money we get Rudy Gobert?
Oh, man.
Stop, please. I still have flashbacks of that.
Rudy Gobert getting $81 million.
The only man with Rudy Gobert flashbacks played the game of him and his children's lives.
That's why they got to have money for 2027. They got to be able to combat that in 2 years. we got to be ready.
That man couldn't keep his hands on the ball in the Western Conference Finals, but he grabbed 27 rebounds against the Lakers.
Well, it helps when you're getting boxed out by Austin Reeves. But still, yeah. But yeah, he won't. It won't. Rudy won't get 100 mil. I think, you put in all the parameters, Ant, Wimby, one of those guys is going to get 100 mil. I mean, Wimby's I wouldn't put it past Phoenix. I wouldn't put it past Phoenix to do that. With Book.
Everyone wants to get rid of Booker.
It's out there. Out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't care about the cap and the aprons. Clearly, they just.
they Book and the Suns love each other.
Yeah. So I mean, it might end up being Book, because a lot of times that first person to crack that barrier is not like the guy who you would assume it's going to be. Like, remember back in the day when the first $100 million contract was it Juwan Howard?
Juwan Howard. Then Alonzo Mourning, I think. Yeah, I think Juwan.
Yeah, and that's when Shaq was like, if they're getting that, I know what I'm getting. You know, so I think you just need one team to do it. And Devin Booker would be an ideal candidate.
Is that when contracts were kind of just a free for all?
Yeah,
like there weren't set numbers, like there aren't like set seven tiers.
You just kind of came up whatever number you thought worked. You know,
that's right. Magic did sign like a 20-year, $20 million deal one time.
That's how baseball is
now.
There
was a time, kids. There was a time where you just go up there and say, "This is what I want." There was a time kids were rookie signed 7-year deals off the rip.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. That's what baseball is now. What Trout and Harper on like 13-year deals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and baseball ends up, you know, because you get like it happened with the Angels with Pujols. You get to like year 9, you're like, why did we do this? You're like, what's going on here? Like, it's year 8, year 9 of a deal. Mm. Except in the case of the Dodgers, we'll take our 10-year guy.
Not pay him for 14 years.
Don't worry about what we do. Jesus. Focus on the Marlins.
All right, that's the second time. Relax.
they stretched Shohei Ohtani's contract.
And I'm kept fine him on the team.
I'm supposed to release him.
Yeah, no, they just kept him.
Deferred money. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Deferred money. Deferred
I'm in favor
money.
Of deferred money. Happy, like I said, today's Bobby. He's the forefather of it. Happy Bobby Bonilla
the
Day.
The forefather.
Shout out to everybody who lived through the amnesty era. Oh, you used that word a second ago when we were talking about Dame, and it was like, oh my God, what a time that was, where a team could just go, my bad.
Oops.
My bad. I'm out.
Did I have this right? Was the first one Allen Houston?
The first guy to get amnesty?
Yeah.
Ooh, good one. I don't remember.
I just remember every fan base had at least one guy. They were like, could you please amnesty? Yes.
And there was like a window in which you could use it.
And everyone was like, yeah, let's get it.
They should bring it back.
Yeah, bruh. You know how happy Kings fans would be if you could use an amnesty clause right now?
Bring it back.
I mean, that was, and then when the first you could wave a player, then, you know, break the contract up.
This is AI, but I got Gilbert Arenas as the first player to be waived under the amnesty clause.
Gil was making a lot of money. I can't remember exactly, but yeah. Gil was getting paid.
This AI mode is wild, dude. Artificial intelligence is crazy.
Yeah. Gil was cashing checks.
I'm trying to see what the dollar figure was, and come on, artificial intelligence, be better. The amnesty provision was known
as the Allen Houston rule. That's why I think of it.
Okay, now wait a minute. The first player waived under the rule was Jerome Williams by the New York Knicks.
Jerome, they said we made a mistake with Jerome Williams. Shout out to the Junkyard Dog or whatever his name was. The Knicks said, oh man, we messed up bad.
This is crazy. The NBA agreed to a new the agreement included an amnesty clause provision allowing teams to release one player without his contract counting against the cap. Because the Knicks were expected to use the amnesty clause to waive Houston due to his expensive contract and injury rolls, the amnesty clause was dubbed the Allen Houston rule. After Houston assured the team that he would retire if his knee injuries reoccurred in training camp that fall, the Knicks chose to not use the amnesty clause to release him. Instead, they released Jerome Williams.
Poor. I'm looking at some of the names they said. Luol Deng was amnestied.
Luol Deng was amnestied?
Yeah.
I got the list right here. We got some names, boy.
Is Gilbert even on the list?
It was used on Chris Bosh, but he had a health thing.
Okay.
Oh, well, man, I'm looking that long?
I'm looking just at 2005, my bad.
Oh, okay. I
found the whole thing of Monte Ellis.
Oh, what you know about Clarence Witherspoon?
God. Joakim Noah.
Howard Eisley. Man. Oh, look who got amnesty. Doug Christie.
Oh, DC.
From Orlando.
I got Gilbert getting amnestied by Orlando also in 2011.
I'm looking at some of these. I remember when Travis Outlaw did, because they were like, he's going to Sacramento now, because
this is crazy. These numbers are crazy. They amnestied Doug Christie for $7.5 million.
Man.
It's
not like he was making 80.
Yeah.
7.5.
Yeah, back then, that was a significant amount, I guess. I'm looking at some of these other ones from back in the day who was used on. I don't know how accurate this is. The name they said it was used on was Tyrus Thomas, Carlos Boozer, Baron Davis.
I just
Brendan
thought about
Haywood.
What's the most famous amnesty story you guys can think of?
The most famous amnesty story.
How about amnesty that?
Oh, who was that again?
Yeah, that was when Mark.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
The Lakers should amnesty Kobe.
Yeah.
Aaron beat him. But look at some of these names. Who remembers Linus Klaza?
Oh, man.
Andre Blatch.
Shout out Andre Blatch, man. Washington
Josh
Wizards.
Josh Childress.
Oh, shout out Josh Stanford. Stand up.
Drew Gooden.
Shout out Kansas and the Oakland Soldiers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, man.
Travis Outlaw got amnestied by the New Jersey Nets. His next team?
Sacramento
Kings.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, some of these names I haven't seen in a while. Guys like Robinson, Ryan Gomes used his name in a while.
What y'all know about Eddie Robinson?
Oh, Eddie Robinson. Who'd he get amnestied by?
Chicago for $5 million. Reggie Miller got amnesty.
I see that. I'm looking at that. I'm trying to figure that out, but I can't. I don't know.
I mean, these were wild. These were wild times. I mean, if they brought it, if they brought it back, yeah, the market would get flooded with players.
They should bring it back.
They couldn't amnesty players quick enough in today's era.
They should bring it back every 5 years or so.
You know what the play-in tournament should be for? An amnesty contract. treat it like the money in the bank contract. You don't think teams will play hard for that?
Oh my God.
If you win, you can amnesty. You
Milwaukee win. Would make Dame pay 48 minutes.
I guess like, maybe in that on, sense, people, teams wouldn't play. The league would just have to spring it on them. Hey, you won. Players, you get $5 million to split amongst yourselves. Ownership, you get to amnesty one of them. Goodbye, everybody.
Imagine the owner or GM going to a player saying, hey, man, I know you don't want to be here anymore, but we win this one. We got you.
Get you out. We're going to get you out.
We're going to get you out.
He had a game of his life. It'd be the opposite of the Malik Beasley accusation. That man going to go all out.
Adam with the Kia in-season amnesty tournament.
Team sign. You got to compete to qualify. LeBron's playing 48 minutes.
What if the All-Star game was for an amnesty clause? The winning team could amnesty a player on the other team?
In-season amnesty.
Just treat the amnesty clause like the money in the bank briefcase, and I think we could work this all out.
Yeah, everything could be for an amnesty. You could have like four or five of them available All-Star weekend. Winner of the three-point contest.
Mac McClung will get signed by the Celtics just so he can win the amnesty.
Like, and guys are fighting. They're like, no, Steph is in this. You know.
Do you think that we got to go? But seriously, do you think the Celtics would amnesty Jaylen Brown if they could?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
I think he has value.
We'll answer it tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess just think about it for a while. Jay, we appreciate you, brother.
All right.
Thank you as always. Thank you.